Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa's dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Welcome in to First Things First. I'm Sarah Kustak filling in for Jenna Wolf. That's a Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. That's Nick Wright. I would say happy Friday and ask how you guys are doing.
I think we already know
the answer.
Yeah. So
it was a tough one last night.
It was a tough one.
C may want your Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Let me throw you some damn tissues for your Yankees down 3-1.
I will cry, but not over the Yankees. But back to you. Get yourself a tissue.
We'll keep these on the table for now because we got a big show coming up. The Cowboys and Eagles face off in an epic NFC East battle. Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones go head-to-head as we get a glimpse of the future of the NFL. But we start with a huge blow for both the Chiefs and the league as a whole. Chiefs and Broncos, Thursday night football last night. And the news of the night happened on this play. 4th-and-1, Chiefs call for a quarterback sneak with their already hobbled MVP quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes injured on the play, reportedly suffering a dislocated kneecap. Now, Kansas City has an MRI scheduled today to determine potential ligament damage. Mahomes was able to walk off on his own power while his team did pick up the 30-6 win over Denver. They lost their star, though, in the process. And after the game, Mahomes tweeted, "Awesome team win. Love my brothers. Thank you for all the prayers. Everything looking good so far." Here's head coach Andy Reid on his quarterback.
Just as far as the injuries go, the main one is, and the only one, it was Patrick. And we'll wait till we get back to give you a further evaluation on it. He's in a good place. I mean, he was in a good place on the field when it happened. He grimaced. Our doc was phenomenal and just calming everything down. Dr. Schreppel, he just kind of calmed the storm right there. And Pat was good, felt very comfortable with him. You know, he refused to get in that cart. Not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing. And, it happens. So.
All right, Steve, what's your reaction to Mahomes' injury?
I mean, I don't have a negative reaction. It's the NFL. I mean, we have a number of quarterbacks that are already out. I mean, some of our best quarterbacks that ever played the game. So to think that a guy can get hurt playing in the game and I'd be surprised, no. This happens in Deshaun Watson. He gets hurt in practice 2 seasons ago. So this is part of the NFL. Andy Reid did say it was a freak thing. Yes, I will say that. But it's all part of development. Like, we watch these guys play. And if you look at Patty Mahomes, if you look at Baker Mayfield, and Coach Mangini always says it, Nick's trying to put guys in the Hall of Fame. But that's what we do. Like, we think these guys are great, and they're going to have 10, 15 years of sustained success. And we don't know that. This is just one bump in the road, in the journey of being a pro athlete. Like, I'm glad it's not his shoulder. I'm glad it's not, I'm glad he didn't dislocate his knee. Like, this could be a lot worse. So, to me, I don't think this is the type of injury that really altered the career of other really, really talented young players, and that being RG3, or Dante Culpepper. Dante Culpepper shattered his knee, altered his career. He was never the same again. RG3 was never the same again psychologically, or was he the same athlete? But Patty Mahomes has a higher football IQ, has more arm talent than those guys. I don't believe this will alter his career, but he will, just like the other great quarterbacks that we've seen, he will have to make adjustments to the game. Dan Marino, he hurt his knee at Pittsburgh. Now, modern day medicine is a lot better, but Dan Marino went on to have a number of surgeries on those knees that he couldn't be the athlete that he was. So he learned how to play in the pocket. John Elway, he hurt his knee in high school and then went on to have a bunch of knee problems, but they learned how to play ultimately in the pocket. Patty Mahomes is ultimately going to have to play in the pocket. I don't believe this is going to affect him. If this was Lamar in Baltimore, I would have a little more concern because I don't think he's ready to do that full time. I know Patty Mahomes can play in the pocket full time, Nick.
This is depending on the prognosis in the MRI today, depending on whether he's out a month or the rest of the season, this is just different levels of devastating for not just Chiefs fans, but if you're a football fan. This is not the Kansas City and Nick Wright saying this. He is one of the three or four most exciting players to watch in the entire league. He is a guy that you set appointments to watch because he does things that almost no other player in the league can do. And while Coach Mangini can give me a hard time all he wants for putting guys in the Hall of Fame, I don't think it is hyperbole at all to say what we saw from Patrick Mahomes in the only full season we'd ever seen from him was the greatest introductory season any quarterback has ever had. Now, because the game is so brutal, because you have a near 100% injury rate, you can't ever put guys in the Hall of Fame. RG3's rookie year was sensational.
Yep.
And then he was never anywhere close to that. Now, this doesn't appear to be that type of injury, but it is so disappointing because you mentioned Deshaun Watson. This did remind me of a couple years ago where in a very short period of time, we lost Aaron Rodgers for the bulk of the season with a collarbone injury. Deshaun Watson was having just a sensational first month of his career. We lose him in practice with a torn ACL, and it just makes the league less fun to watch. Now, for Mahomes, you are happy. What Andy Reid said is important. The two points. One is his knee was the kneecap, pardon me. They relocated it, if you will. I don't know the medical term for it. Mm-hmm. Right there on the field. So it was dislocated for the shortest period of time possible. And he refused the cart. And you could even see his gait by the time he got close to the end zone was already improved. The question will be, was there ligament damage? If there was, they will have to do surgery. If there wasn't, there will be a question about whether they're going to do surgery now or wait till the end of the season.
Yeah, anytime you have a knee injury in the NFL, don't get consumed with the walk-off.
Of course.
Because almost all the guys that I've seen shatter their knee. I'm talking about, I have shaken hands with guys. Man, are you all right? Yeah, feels a little tight. All right, but I feel like I'm okay. And then you get that MRI, yep. What happens? ACL torn, MCL torn. So we've seen a lot of people walk, and that walk is deceptive. It's deceiving. It will fool a lot of people. But Patty Mahomes refused to get on that cart, which we've seen a lot of NFL players do. I believe he'll be back. I believe he'll be back within a month. I believe he'll probably miss 3 or 4 games. There's other players that have had this type of injury. So I don't think it will affect just their arc of their season. But for me, as long as I've been watching the game, every season I expect great players to get hurt. Because this is not a contact sport. It is a collision sport. And there's only two groups that really aren't ready for those collisions. And that's the kickers and the quarterbacks. The rest of them are full-time football players. So I do expect them to be hurt year in and year out.
One quick follow-up before we get to the QB sneak part of it. The point Chris keeps making, which is the most causes the most apprehension for, I think, football fans and Chiefs fans is, does this change when Patrick Mahomes comes back, whether it be in a month or the beginning of next season, the type of football player that he is? Because while I said last week when we were talking about the ankle injury, that he can, in the pocket, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, but what has made him the league MVP is what he does in the pocket and what he does outside of the pocket. How much is that affected long-term from this moment?
And you bring it up. We had been talking about Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. the ankle injury he's been dealing with the last few weeks.
Yes.
Andy Reid calls this a freak accident. But see, what was going through your mind? Did you make it the fact that Chiefs 4th-and-1 that Reid calls a quarterback?
Yeah, there's freak accidents. There's freak accidents when you're riding in your car, too. But do you have on your seatbelt? Because that's going to prevent you from a lot of things. Patrick Mahomes got hurt in week 1. He re-aggravated in week 5 and at least week 6. In those situations, I need someone else on that roster to go get me 6 or 8 inches. Andy Reid, with all his creativity, yes, I do know that the quarterback sneak is the most effective way to get 1 yard. But we go through periods of time where if the center had a bad back, would we run a quarterback sneak or would we run a toss or something? We would do something different. And you do the same thing for your quarterback. A lot of times in pro sports, Sarah, you know this, you have to take that decision away from the athlete. If Patty Mahomes comes over to the side and says, Andy, it's the 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, what should we run? He said, let's run a quarterback sneak. You got it. He'd be like, yeah, coach, I got it. I'm going to go for it. No, you have to remove that from them for a number of reasons. You can't predict what's going to happen. And as much as these quarterbacks think they're football players, they're not. They're not used to getting hit. You can't predict who's going to hit him, what's going to happen to him in the pile, and it is the least practiced play in football. Anybody say they go to a practice and they doing live quarterback sneaks, they are not telling you the truth. Ask Andy Reid, when was the last time Patty Mahomes did a live quarterback sneak, coach?
Outside of the game. Right, in practice. It's not something, because the reason you don't practice it, tell me if you disagree, is because if you're going to practice it live, there are so many bodies all falling in the same direction, a freak thing can happen. Now, Chris is right. The numbers are, this is the most effective play in football. Third and one or fourth and one, if you got to have it, the absolute right play is this play. My problem is, this is the second quarter of a game you're leading in November with your injured franchise quarterback. You don't gotta have it.
No.
And if this was fourth and one with Patrick Mahomes on a gimpy ankle in the AFC Championship game, gut up and go get it. And if this happens...
Right. It's no different than doing an injury report during the week. If you got wide receivers, I'm not going to throw the ball 50 times if they're banged up.
Yeah.
Like, you have to use wisdom and be smart in these situations. So for me, for the first 10 weeks of the season, he would have been out of quarterback sneaking. And then once he started getting healthier... And if I got into a we-got-a-habit situation, then I would go to it. But that was not the situation. And you have to be able to protect athletes from themselves, because we will run into a brick wall. If it's to get a win, if it's to get a catch, if it's to get a reception, if it's to get a tackle, we will do that. And Patty Mahomes was doing just what the coach. So Andy Reid knows today, because now looking back at it, he can say whatever he wants to. It's a freak injury, but it happened to your guy.
And it's, Chris, it's an indicative of everything matters. And I say that in this regard. This wasn't about Patrick Mahomes' ankle injury that he came into the game with. This was about the Chiefs' lack of a power running game. This was about cutting Kareem Hunt last year and no longer having him. This was about an offensive line that has not been a big, physical, powerful offensive line. That's why they didn't pick up the third and one that led to this, or third and one and a half. And that's why in this spot you're like, well, can we rely on our running back to go get a yard? I'm not sure. And you put your franchise quarterback, league MVP, 24-year-old superstar in jeopardy. Yes, that is a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking as far as would we be critiquing it if he didn't get hurt? No, it would just be another play. But with the knowing what happened, it does feel very preventable.
All right, we got to take a break, but we've got much more on this as the show continues. Is hosting the Eagles in a pivotal NFC East showdown on Sunday Night Football. Dallas has lost three straight, and part of the main reason can certainly be traced back to their zero first half touchdowns during the losing streak. Here's Dak Prescott on his team's slow starts.
When you're playing from behind, you're obviously not running the ball that much, so it's hard to get the same leverage, or get the same response you get when you do a play action when you're down a couple of touchdowns. So we'll get back to it. We'll get back to running our offense. But I think it all goes back into starting fast, starting faster than we have, dictating the tempo and allowing us to do exactly that.
Starting fast is one thing, but see, what do Dak and the Cowboys offense need to do to come out with a win Sunday against the Eagles?
Well, first of all, before I get to what they're going to do, Dak Prescott was the second person I thought about when Patrick Mahomes got hurt last night. First was Nick Wright, and now Dak Prescott. As far as this money, Jerry slid this contract over to him. Dak keeps sliding it back, saying, add something to it, boss. When you watch Patrick Mahomes injure his knee and how significant it might be, it affects other players. And I believe that Dak watching that game, it affected him. So how Dak and Zeke and this offense, how they're going to operate and beat Philadelphia, yesterday I said, man, they have to be creative. They have to run it, and they have to have Dak involved in the running game. I wouldn't be surprised if he runs the ball 8 to 10 times. I bring back the RPOs, the run-pass option for the quarterback, out of the shotgun, letting him read the defense. Zeke's going to carry a bunch of those. I'm going to run a few of them, and then several times I'm going to throw the ball out of it. I still believe that's the most effective way for Dallas. When your wide receiving core is banged up, I don't know how healthy Cobb is going to be. Don't know if Amari Cooper, he hasn't shown me the ability that he can be one of the elite receivers when he's a little bit nicked up. So they were depleted at the end of the game. That's why they went to Jason Witten. So my philosophy is we have to run the ball. We have to be creative, because we don't have a starting left tackle. We don't have our starting right tackle. But now with what happened last night, that's human now. And that contract's still sitting on the table. and all that guaranteed money that he's never had participated in, I believe that weighs on his mind. So will he be as willing on those RPOs? The defensive end is right in between, Sarah. Do I just give it to Zeke? Go ahead, Zeke, you run it.
Power through it.
Or do I play with reckless abandon that he did in college and his first 3 years in the league, Nick?
All right, so you and I have been spending too much time together because I thought of Dak as well, but for a slightly different reason. I also thought of you because you called me. Now I gave you the bleep you button. I couldn't deal with you at that
moment.
I couldn't pick up his call. Patrick Mahomes is limping off the field. My phone rings. I see Chris Carter. I say, not today, Satan. Not dealing with it. But I thought of Dak in this regard, and then I'll answer the question. So I don't want to defer it, but when you talk about him wanting to accept Jerry's deal, I thought of him going to Jerry and saying, listen, you guys might think I'm not the throw of the football Patrick Mahomes is, not throw of the football Carson Wentz is. You know what I am? Always available. You got a league where half the teams are on their second quarterback already. 14 teams are on their second quarterback, either due to injury or incompetence. Dak Prescott can say, man, one thing you can put me in the same category of Russell Wilson, the highest paid player in the NFL, is I am always here. So I do think that while I agree with you logically, you'd see that and say, man, I got a bird in the hand, and that bird is $100 million guaranteed. Dak's been very audacious, if you will, on playing without that contract. And I don't know if that wraps up in the next 72 hours. Now, on the football game, Dak talked about starting fast. Man, this Cowboys offense in the first half, I'm not talking about just during the three-game losing streak, dating back to the Miami game in week three. So over the last four games, has been as bad as any first-half offense in football outside of maybe Miami. The first two games of the year, the Cowboys had 9 drives in the first half. They scored 35 points on those 9 drives. That's, what's that, almost 4 points a drive, a touchdown every other drive. Since then, they've had 23 first-half drives. They've scored 19 points, including the Miami game. They have dug themselves in a huge hole the last few weeks against New Orleans. They were in it the whole game because New Orleans offense couldn't do anything. And then against the Jets and the Packers, they obviously were down multiple scores at the half and playing catch-up. It's one of the reasons why the Cowboys' yards per game numbers, which look really good to me, are wildly inflated. Because the last couple weeks, you've got teams not playing prevent, but playing soft coverage to try to prevent the big play over the top. The Cowboys got to get back to what they were doing the first couple games of the year and get off to a legitimate start. Put some of the pressure on Philadelphia. Try to take Philadelphia out of what they want to do and make it so they can lean on Zeke late in games, which has been their formula for winning over the last few years. So I do think Dak keyed on the important point. Can you get off to a better start? I think it's going to be incredibly difficult because of those injuries. Those tackle injuries, those receiver injuries. How much is it going to fall on Zeke? And how much is Philadelphia going to say, listen, if Tavon Austin's going to beat us, God bless. But we are not going to let Ezekiel Elliott beat us.
Big picture, will the winner of this game have a stranglehold on the NFC East?
No, absolutely not. It's going to be bundled up to the finish. That's going to be a week number 17. Neither one of these teams can plan on, you know something, man, week 15, we'll play hard that week. Week 16 and 17, you know, we might be able to chill. Absolutely not. The cushion that they've had, they have already utilized that. So it's going to be knockdown, drag out. Neither one of them have a schedule that there's any type of relief in it. So, no, we thought it would be a tight race, but we thought it would be a race to 11 and 12 victories or 11 and 10 victories for these two teams. We thought they were the best in the division. So, no, I can't say that with this win, either one of these teams, not unless there was some significant injury to one of their quarterbacks or something like that. No, I believe neither one of these teams is at an advantage unless Philadelphia wins on the road with the rematch coming back in Philadelphia. That would give them a huge advantage. But a stranglehold, I'm gonna hold off just a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia, with a win, can put themselves in a far more powerful or advantageous position than Dallas can. One, because they are on the road and they know in week 16 Dallas has to come back to their building. The other is it would the Cowboys have been operating as if last week was rock bottom. No, this would be. Like, you can think you're at rock bottom and then dig a little deeper. And if you really want to send some shockwaves through that organization, put some, you know, plant some seeds of doubt in the players, is this going to work? Is Jason Garrett going to be our coach next season? They're going to be wholesale changes. Have that team lose 4 games in a row. Have that team get embarrassed at home by Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the losses. It's you lose to New Orleans. They don't have Teddy Bridgewater. You can't score 13 points. You're down 31-3 to Green Bay in a game that people thought you'd be right there, if not win. You lose to the Jets, a Jets team that had 2 offensive touchdowns on the year. If you then lose at home to the team that you have circled on your schedule all year long, to me, if Philly wins, they can't bury Dallas because Philly hasn't been good enough throughout the year to be able to say they're going to be able to bury anybody, but they can start
what
shoveling
the
some dirt
for
on
a
them.
Team losing 4 in a row?
6 since the playoff format it is now, only 6% of teams that have ever gone through a 4-game losing streak have made the postseason. So that's the beginning of the year, middle of the year, end of the year, and that's 2 reasons for that. One is you usually only have about 6 losses to play with over the course of the year if you're going to make the playoffs.
True.
And the other reason is if you lose 4 in a row, you're usually not any good. And that's the concern for Dallas. That was your concern Monday. That is, maybe Dallas just isn't a good football team. They have a chance to prove they are this weekend. They got a tough battle at home.
Right here in New York, fans will get a special treat on Sunday. Number 1 overall pick Kyler Murray will face Danny Dimes and the Giants. They are the 10th quarterback duo drafted in the top 10 to meet as rookies. So see, which rookie quarterback would you rather build your franchise around? Kyler Murray or Daniel Jones?
Ooh, okay, now. Nick will tell you, my bio is pretty simple, Kustak. When it's any sport, the bigger I can be, the faster I can be, I'm about it.
Mm-hmm.
Size is important. The only one that said size wasn't important was a real small guy.
What a slow guy say?
Oh, yeah, speed is overrated. I'll be damned.
Right.
Don't tell me. I wish I had a little more speed.
Right.
But I would have to say in this, because of just overall arm talent, I believe both of them have big-time arms. I got to go with Kyler. And just because he has performed at a higher level in high school and in college. And in college, he showed me that he could go through some adversity. He had to make the decision in trying to manage, do I play baseball, transferring to another school, sitting behind a quarterback who's good, but believing, Kyler believed he was better than Baker. So imagine now him sitting there that whole year, not being able to say anything, and the numbers he put up, he was actually a better quarterback, better numbers than Baker Mayfield. So for me, I think he's from Tyler, Texas, one of the winningest high school players we've ever had in the state of Texas, maybe the best high school player in Texas.
Yeah, ever. Texas history.
To me, that over the long haul, even though he's a smaller guy, I would have to say Kyler. I'm going with Kyler because I believe that their football minds are relatively the same. I've seen some things with Kyler earlier in the year that make him, he's a little more tougher than I thought he would be. So I'm going to go with Kyler because I just believe he has more overall talent than Danny Dimes.
And just real quick on the high school and college stuff for Kyler. I was living in Texas when Kyler was a high school player there. It was like Paul Bunyan stories. Texas high school football fans are not easily impressed now.
Nope.
I mean, they're used to same high school, I think, at Andy Dalton and Drew Brees, and then you're used to having
not these. In the history of the school, not in the history of a class.
No.
He might be the best high school player in the state of Texas football history.
Which is and then what he did at Oklahoma is the only reason a guy his height has any chance of being in this discussion. Because you guys know I was skeptical of Kyler coming into the league because I'm skeptical of anyone trying to be the first person to ever do something. One day someone's going to be like, I'm a walk on Mars, and I'm going to doubt them until we see them do it because no one's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Kyler's trying to do. I'd still far rather have him than Daniel Jones because we can only evaluate guys based on what they've done. And Kyler, Chris mentioned in high school and college been better. And in the pros, he's been better.
I thought you would go to the pros. That's why
I mean, and Kyler, by the way,
20 completions every game.
And Kyler, by the way, is getting better. Kyler week by, it's not every week gets better, but his arrow is pointing up to a degree. Daniel Jones, first game that he started, his quarterback rating was 112. The second game was 78. Third game was 65. In this last game, it was 35. His interceptions, he went from 2 touchdowns, 0 picks in his first game to 3 touchdowns, 6 picks in his most recent game. He's got a fumbling issue. Now, I understand that the Giants have been as bereft of talent as any team in the league since he's taken over. Saquon has never played a full game with him. Mm-hmm. They've had wide receiver injuries. And I am at least slightly more optimistic on Daniel Jones now than I was when he was drafted, because I didn't know if he would ever have a game like he had that first game against Tampa. So he has shown me.
And he's got a big time arm.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He has shown me he can make some throws.
Yes.
But even though he's, what, 9 inches taller, 8 inches taller than Kyler, I think Kyler's overall talent, athleticism, what, out wins the day, so to speak. Now, I think both these guys got an uphill battle. I think Daniel Jones has an uphill battle, and I think Kyler does because of the size, but I'd rather have Kyler.
I think you make a great point, too, looking at the progression. Even if we just started evaluating them from week number 1 when Kyler started and Daniel's when his first start, his first start, week number 3. The offense in Arizona has changed. They weren't utilizing a tight end, any type of heavy formation. They were very college-like the first few games. As you can see, the next few games, they've changed a little bit. It's starting to look more like an NFL team. Let's bring a little tight end in here. Let's be very more familiar so we can protect the quarterback. So him doing different things, I don't think that was the best offense for him the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. Now he's doing some different things and still getting better. So his arc is not going down. It's continuing to go up.
Yeah, how much of this progression will come along with the fact that he's with a first-year head coach and Cliff Kingsbury and him figuring out the league and what he wants to do against different opponents and defenses, along with Kyler trying to figure everything?
Yeah, they're both learning along the way. They do have a great relationship. I did speak to Larry Fitzgerald. I speak to him about every other week and an update on Kyler and on Arizona and what they're doing. They did a great thing for Kyler because initially they named him the starter. There was no competition. So when he comes into the building, even though he might have the coach with the least experience, he's more comfortable because the organization, the keys have already been handed over to him. Danny Dimes, do we know if he's the franchise quarterback with the Giants? Like, they haven't told him that. Yeah, they drafted him. Haskins, all these other guys are trying to be the franchise quarterback. Kyler, the owner, the coach, the general manager, the star player, and Larry Fitzgerald, all of them had already anointed Kyler that.
And Kyler, and it's inflated because of the offense they're running, because they are so pass heavy, but he's now played 6 games. If he plays the full 16-game season at this pace, he's going to have a 5,000-yard season. 4,400 passing is what he's on pace for, 600 rushing. There's only 10 quarterbacks ever that have had a 5,000-yard season. In fact, no, I think there's only been 10 quarterback seasons, fewer than 10 quarterbacks, because Breeze done it a few times, Stafford done it a few times. So his raw accounting numbers are off the charts. His efficiency numbers need to improve. But he has, over that same 4-week stretch that I mentioned, Daniel Jones's quarterback rating has gone down each week. Kyle's gone 74 to 78 to 87 to 128. He's coming off the best game of his career. Daniel Jones coming off the worst game, both of their very young careers. I think Kyler was the better player coming in. I still feel that.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
to the news of the night. Pat Mahomes reportedly suffering a dislocated kneecap in last night's Chiefs win. According to our guys at Fox Bet, KC is still the second biggest favorite to win the AFC after the Pats, followed by the Texans and the Ravens. So, Nick, how much does Pat Mahomes' injury potentially change the landscape of the AFC?
It's massive. Going into the year, I predicted New England would have the best record in the AFC and that the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl. Because I do think the Chiefs at full strength are going into the year, especially when I thought their defense was going to be better than it's been prior to last night, had shown they can go toe-to-toe with New England and beat them. I don't think anyone else in the AFC can. Who are the contenders? Like, who are the teams? If Patrick Mahomes comes back, then I still think they have a chance, but they would have to be beating New England when New England's coming off a bye, when the Chiefs are having to play in the wild card round almost assuredly, a far more difficult path, and it's guaranteed that game would be in New England. Do I trust a Bill O'Brien coach team against a Bill Belichick coach team in Houston? Absolutely not. We've talked about the Ravens today. Do I trust Baltimore's team as a whole to be able to present New England with something they're not prepared for, even though Baltimore teams historically have been able to go to New England and win? I don't. Indy? I like Indy's team, and I really like Jacoby Brissett. But no, this morning I was thinking about Andrew Luck. I was thinking about those Colts and their fans saying, man, even though Jacoby's been good, What would this season have been looking like if our quarterback wasn't lost for the season due to injury, but lost for his career due to retirement? So the Patriots this morning woke up feeling great. They were, I don't care what they would say, they knew the Chiefs were going to present them a unique set of problems. Not ones they couldn't necessarily overcome, but a unique set of problems. That now is up in the air. So yeah, drastically changed it. The Patriots should be the overwhelming favorites today as we await the news on Patrick Mahomes.
One thing year after year that we typically miss in covering the league is we get so caught up into which teams are going to be in the playoffs compared to which teams are going to be good after Halloween, because it's really hard to evaluate the teams. The last couple of years, because of collective bargaining agreement, we give the NFL the first four games because of lack of practices, lack of padded practices, lack of continuity, lack of offensive linemen being developed. It's going to take you four games. So New England, the last couple of years, they have not been a good team in September or early October. So I'm not going to be consumed with, okay, who's good right now? Last year, Houston wasn't good, they got good. Colts weren't good, they got good. Baltimore wasn't good, they got good. Cleveland wasn't good, they got good. So right now, yes, New England is a huge favorite, but that's the only team that we're guaranteeing is going to get better. The rest of these teams are scrambling, and if Kansas City, if they can't play a couple games at home, to me, I didn't have any confidence them going against New England because of that defense. And because New England has the confidence of going to Kansas City last year and smacking them in that AFC championship game. So to me, Patty Mahomes being out for an extended period of time, it brings other people into the conversation of who can play at New England in the AFC championship after New England rips off 14 wins at a minimum.
We're still awaiting the results of this MRI to find out the timeline and severity, but how long do you think Kansas City can survive without?
Well, I think the Chargers have played themselves out of contention the last few weeks with just inexplicable and indefensible losses at home to the third string quarterback for Pittsburgh, Devlin Hodges. So the Chargers, I can cross them off. Denver crossed themselves off yesterday. So a lot of that has to do with how good is Oakland? Is all of a sudden the AFC West going to be like the NFC East this year, where nine wins maybe can get it done? If that's the case, then they could go 1-3, maybe even 0-4 without Patrick Mahomes. Let me give one devil's advocate argument, see if it registers with you at all, Chris Carter. You believed, even if Patrick Mahomes was healthy all year long, that the Chiefs, without a running game, without a competent defense, that if this hadn't happened yesterday, you would still be saying, man, you can't beat New England the way they're trying to play, especially going to New England.
Yes.
If there is any, and maybe I'm reaching, bright side to what happened yesterday, over the next month of football, they're going to have to learn to play a different style. They're going to have to lean on the running back more, lean on their defense more. If Mahomes does come back in a month and they have stolen a few things of, oh, we actually can do this, we can do that, and then you add Mahomes to it, does that do anything?
Yeah, hypothetically, it's great. I'm sitting here listening to you, but I don't believe you. And the reason why, Andy Reid has been consistent. We had Brian Westbrook sit right here and yell at him. It's one of his, Andy Reid said it's one of his favorite players. He said, I'm yelling to Andy. Andy, hand me the ball. I'm like your son. Andy said, nope, we going by air, bro. We not going by stagecoach. So it's nice to talk about that. New Orleans is doing that. Sean Payton has developed that over the last couple of years. Andy Reid is not that type of coach. That's one of the reasons. But ultimately, the other reason is when I develop the fastest football team in the NFL, you can't tell them all of a sudden, we're a 4x1 relay team. We're the fastest in the world. Now, all of a sudden, Sarah, you know what we're getting ready to run? We're getting ready to run a 400. And anybody know anything about sprinting knows that sprinters don't want to run a 400. That's the toughest race. So, no, they're good at sprinting, and that can't be converted into anything else. So, hate to rain on your parade, but
20 straight years.
Let me give you another tissue.
New England again.
Let me give you another tissue.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.